It's our privilege to have tonight missionaries that we have been supporting since the late 1980s, and 34 years or so, I think. And we're thankful for this family that has been very faithful in their work to share the gospel to the people there in Hong Kong. And so you'll hear from them here in just a few moments. There's a video presentation and some things that he'd like to share for you verbally. But we're so glad to have Roger and Nola Parrott with us and their family. And so he'll say more about himself, I'm sure, and the family here. But we're just so thankful they could be with us. And I know that you'll be greatly blessed by the presentation here that they share as you see how God has been working over there in that land. And so, Brother Roger, it's good to have you here tonight. If you would come, please, at this time and share what God has laid on your heart. It's so good to have you here.
All right. Good evening. It's good to be back with you. It has been a long time, upwards of 6 years since we were last here. Before you were in this building, I think, actually, was the last time we were here. And so we want to make sure you know what's been going on in the work in Hong Kong. And this video we're going to show you is just about the last four-year term that we were in Hong Kong. It doesn't talk about the work we had done before that. We'd been involved in starting two churches and starting a Bible Institute previous to that, and a ministry to pastors, training them. And then this last term, we went back to Hong Kong, and other people were pastoring the churches that we had helped to start. And so we decided, okay, we're just going to go back, and we're going to start in church. In 2018, we went back to Hong Kong in September, and almost immediately, we started meeting people that we had no contact with before. The first thing you have to do is just meet a lot of people, right? If you're going to start a church. And we didn't know how we were going to do that, but God did it. God opened doors. We went back, and a friend that you're going to see actually in the first slide, a lady named Bing, introduced us to a fairly famous motivational speaker in Hong Kong named Chris Wong. And you'll see him sitting alone in a slide with a little bit of a mohawk in his haircut, and that he is quite a unique character, and he introduced us to all kinds of businessmen. He said, you know what, I want to help you start a church, and I'll tell you what, there's an office across the street rented by a friend of mine. I'm going to rent it from him for you on Sundays, and let's start a church there. Now, this was a unique location. It was in the red light district of Hong Kong, the bar district, actually, of Hong Kong, called Lan Kwai Fong. And we had never thought about going there at this point. Now, I'd prayed about Hong Kong Island in the past. It's on Hong Kong Island, which is one of three land parts of Hong Kong. It's the one part that doesn't really have a Chinese-speaking fundamental Baptist church. Or fundamental church Chinese-speaking at all. There are some English-speaking ones for international people, but no Chinese. And so when he offered that, and we were encouraged by this, we thought, this is kind of a unique opportunity. Let's see what God does. And so we went there, and you're going to see all kinds of activities. He took us to some businessmen's meetings that he had run for years, every month in one of his restaurants. And you'll see groups of 70 or so different business people. We got to know all of them, sharing our testimony, getting to just try to get to witness to them. And many of them we did get to talk with several times. And then Bing, the lady, introduced us to a group of 40 business people that she worked with in a vitamin company. And that ended up being a thing where I was actually preaching the gospel almost every month to that group. Most of which were unsaved. And then we just started being introduced to people all over Hong Kong Island that wanted their children to learn English, because that's one of the big things is English learning. They required in school, and so we started teaching all kinds of English classes. Jonathan and I were going over to Hong Kong Island, it seemed like almost every day for a while, to teach classes. And God did some really unique things, and we got to meet a lot of people, got to share the gospel with a lot of people. You'll see a lot of those activities, summer day camp, you'll see our kids playing games in that. You'll see at Easter, you'll see some parties that we had where I'm sharing the gospel using Betty Lukin's flannel graph pictures. And you'll see, in fact, Nola got to go to South Africa with some of those people that our friend Bing worked with and got to share the gospel with them that way. And so a lot of neat things happened. And then 10 months into starting the church, the guy we were renting from said, you know, I'm not going to keep this office. I've joined a legal firm, and they're going to have an office for me, and so I no longer need this one, and so you're going to have to find a different place. Well, if you know anything about Hong Kong, you know it's expensive. Hong Kong Island, to rent even 700 square feet, would have been $20,000 U.S. a month. So there's no way any missionary can afford that. Everybody knows that. And so we just said, what are we going to do? And we prayed about it and decided that the best thing for us was to just go ahead and go back to our original plan, which was to start a church near where we had chosen to live. It's a place called Teen Soi Wai. If you look at that banner next to our display out in the hallway, those high-rise buildings, that's Teen Soi Wai. It's an area of about 300,000 people with no fundamental church. There are some evangelical churches, one of which is fairly good, most of which are not very good, a few Catholic churches, and a lot of Buddhist and stuff like that, superstition. And so definitely a needy place. We started doing the same thing, meeting people, passing out tracts, teaching English, and about 7 months into that, the protests of Hong Kong started. And the protests actually started actually a little sooner than that, didn't they? I keep getting that confused. They started a little sooner than that. What happened was when we stopped the work in Hong Kong Island, that was right when they were kind of at their worst, and we couldn't have been meeting there anyway if we had wanted to because of the protests going on. And then the protests got really violent, and so kind of things were shut down a bit on Sundays because that was when the protests often happened. And then COVID hit. And of course, things were shut down then. For 8 months, like in Hong Kong, no meetings were allowed, no public meetings. We had been meeting in public halls, like community halls we could get for free, and no longer could do that. We started meeting some in our house, but we knew that we wanted to reach out. And the interesting thing was that none of the churches in our fellowship, the fundamental churches, were doing anything online at the beginning. And so I said, this is a crime. We need to do something here for our people. So we started live streaming our services. The last Sunday before we started doing that, we had three people in our house at church with us, our family. The first Sunday we did it, we had 100 people listening. And all of the people all over Hong Kong Island, people, these business people, all over, people were listening. Ended up somewhere in Pakistan, in Africa. I've got people in the Philippines listening to me, Myanmar listening. I got them all over the place, it seems like, nowadays. And it was a shock to me how quickly God gave us contacts that way. And it continued on for a long time like that with a lot of people listening. Slowly it kind of died down to about 15 to 20. Now it's at about 25 on a regular basis listening to me. I still preach for them every Saturday night at 10:30 and every Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock in Cantonese and in English, translating myself as we go. And then you also see that God gave us a unique opportunity to minister to other churches. One was a church in Pakistan. I preached for them a couple times as a result of that. A church in Hong Kong, a Filipino church, their pastor ended up having to stay in Philippines for a long time because of the COVID problem. He wasn't allowed to come back. So I ended up ministering to them on the afternoon services after our morning worship. And then there's another church called Lighthouse Baptist that had their pastor resign, and they couldn't find a man to lead their church. The men we had trained in the past were all pastoring churches already. And so they asked me about it, and I just said, well, the best thing I think is for me to train your men. So I started, at the beginning of this furlough, I was training five of their men in how to prepare a message, how to preach and present it, teaching them through books of the Bible so that they would be able to actually get up and teach confidently. And then one last thing you'll see in these slides is a church in New York City. There's a slide with a young lady in our church, Chinese lady, and a Caucasian man. They're engaged to be married. He's in New York City. She's in our church in Hong Kong. And when we started doing live streaming, he asked if he could start using our sermons because his church in New York City has a large ministry to Chinese people. For the Mandarin speakers, they have a Mandarin pastor down in Texas that they use his messages, but they didn't have anyone for the Cantonese speakers, and they had about 50 people that they needed to reach. And so they've started using my messages and are still doing so every Wednesday afternoon in the morning. And I hope you'll pray. Many of them, we went to see them when we were up there in the New York City area, shared the gospel with many of them in Cantonese. And I hope you'll pray that many of them will hear the gospel and be saved as they continue listening. So there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of interesting contacts. But the thing to pray for is just that those people will now respond to the gospel. They've heard it, and pray that for responses, and pray that we will be able, those who are listening now faithfully, we will be able to gather into a church when we get back. It looks like that will be in January. Lord willing, we'll have the support we need then and be going back. So let's go ahead and just play the video then. If you would, I would like to take your Bible and let's study the Bible first, and then I'll leave a little bit of time at the end for questions, okay? Turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. You know, Pastor, it's interesting that you said what you said in the introduction of the service today, this evening, because I have a message along that line from 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10, that I preached in our church in Greenville area a month or two ago, and really enjoyed preaching that passage, that worship leads to a better witness, proper worship. But today I want to share with you something else. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very simple. My goal is to recruit you to pray. You saw all those people in Hong Kong. They need to be saved. There are some of them that are saved, obviously, but and there are, we have several, when we went to Hong Kong, there were three fundamental churches. Now there are 11, and all of them with good pastors leading them. The one of those five young men, by the way, that I was training to preach, he's now going to Bible college out in California to prepare for the ministry. And so those people need you to pray for them. And secondly, we need you to pray for us. We don't realize sometimes all the dangers, difficulties. When we went to the mission field, I can honestly say we did not anticipate all that we would face over the years of 32 years now in Hong Kong. And some of them have been hard. Sometimes it's been really easy. We love Hong Kong. It's an easy place to live compared to many others. And it's a wonderful place to live and has been all the time we've been there. But we do need a lot of prayer. I'd like you to look with me at Colossians 4, verses 2 to 4. And we're just going to talk about some very simple principles for praying for missionaries. I'm going to call this battle prayer. Because we tend to forget our life in this world is a battle. The Bible tells us that the battle is all around us. A battle for people that need to be saved. And especially on the mission field, that battle is strong. Now, I believe it's strong in the U.S. right now, too. But it is especially strong and always has been on the mission field. Because we have a lot of idolatry. We have a lot of witchcraft, demonism, all kinds of stuff going on around us. And there's a lot of really real danger on mission fields. you may not know it, but most missionaries don't last as long as my family has lasted. If they last 20 years, that's really unusual. Very many, after 3 to 4 years, quit because they've been there for their first term of service and realize, this wasn't what I signed on for, that I thought I was getting. And then after 7 years, a lot of times they'll quit because it really is just hard. It's hard work. And then we find a lot of missionaries have quit at around 20 years also. I think then it's because of family, like us right now, the kids are starting to stay in the States, and mom and dad miss their kids and things like that. All kinds of things go on. And it's hard. And we need a lot of prayer because of those things. Colossians 4, let me just point out for you wording that's used here that I think teaches us principles of praying for the spiritual battle that is going on. Number one, proper prayer in the battle requires dedication. Verse 2, continue in prayer. That word for continue is a word that doesn't just mean keep doing it. It has the idea of be devoted to keep doing it. If you look at Acts 6, verse 4, that word is used actually three times in the first few chapters of Acts. In Acts 1 and in Acts 2, after the church is born, that it talks about them being devoted to praying together. And then here in Acts 6 is the third time. Acts 6, the early church was having a problem, one of the first crises of the church that could have stopped the advance of the gospel was a division, because there was the Grecian Jews against the Hebrew Jews going on, and apparently the Hebrew Jews were not taking care of the Grecian Jews' widows. And so the apostles saw this, and they said, we got to solve this. And they said, let's start the process of men, deacons, the first deacons, in order to solve this problem. They'll take care of it. But look at verse 4. It says, the apostles say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. That's that same word. Give ourselves continually. That I am going to make it a priority. I feel that one of the great weaknesses of the church in our day is this lack of priority in prayer. We just, dare I say it, don't pray. If someone prays more than 5 to 10 minutes in a day, they're actually praying more than the average Christian does. Did you know that? According to surveys. That's sad, but that's true. And it cannot be so, because when we lack prayer, we lack power. Right. We must be people who devote ourselves to prayer. That means you have to make it a priority. You must make it a practice, a habit in your life to spend time prayer. My wife teased me. Our last prayer letter that was in the bulletin today, the first part of it, I got a little overzealous. I guess I said that one of my goals in this furlough was to get 100 people praying for us 30 minutes a day. And she said, wow, that was a little overzealous. 30 minutes a day just for our family. Maybe that's so. But what I really would like to see people praying for us every day. We need that kind of prayer. And I would like to challenge you to make prayer a priority. How do you do that? Well, I would like to suggest some ideas. Very simple. Number one, make a list of people that are lost and a list of missionaries and pastors that you want to pray for. Because whether you know it or not, missionaries and pastors are under attack from Satan all the time. And they need your prayer. And I would challenge you to pray regularly and devotedly for those people. Why pray? Well, you notice it says here, the next phrase, watch in the same with thanksgiving. You folks that live on bases. You know what this idea of watch is, right? That's a guard guarding the camp. This implies that prayer, among the things that prayer can do, is it can protect someone from danger, from satanic attack. When you pray for me, you can protect me, even though I'm on the other side of the world. When you pray for my children, you can protect them, even though they're on the other side of the world from you. And you have no physical contact with them. You can protect our souls. You can protect our minds as you pray for us. And I would like to challenge you to do that. Protect us and protect your other missionaries by prioritizing praying for them. Notice it also says that God would open unto us a door of utterance. That implies that prayer can change the opportunities that your missionary has. You have pastors, you have missionaries out there trying to reach people with the gospel. This implies that one of the things you can do for them is to pray that God would open doors and give them opportunities to share the gospel with lost people. And God is saying, Paul is saying, God will answer that prayer and open new doors for them. We had no idea when we went back to Hong Kong in 2018 that we were going to get that many opportunities with business people. That's never happened before for us. Business people are extremely busy in Hong Kong. They just don't make time for anything but their work during the week. And then on Sunday, their one day off, they spend it all day with their family. So they have no time. But God opened up multiple doors for us to meet business people. And some of them were kind of famous people in Hong Kong, which shocked us. That's never happened before. We had a news reporter on television that we got to know. Another guy that's a pretty famous kind of country philosopher type in Hong Kong, and we got to know him. And God gave unique opportunities this time as we just hung around with Chinese people. And I would like you to pray that God would open those people's hearts. Several times we had a picture of one family that I'd really like you to pray for, Isaac and his family. We want to reach that family for Christ. There are so many people that I could name. Please pray that God would open hearts. It also indicates here, verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, the idea that you're praying for us can change our ability to communicate the gospel. Not necessarily that we speak better, but I think what it means is that the Spirit of God goes to work in the hearts, and they start responding to the Word of God. But it may be that they could speak better. Let me just disabuse you of a notion. If you think that missionaries, it's easy for them to share the gospel, I'll disabuse you of that notion. It's not. If you think it's hard to share the gospel here in America, try coming to Hong Kong and doing it in Chinese. It was the hardest thing I ever did to start talking to people about Jesus in Chinese. And it's still one of the hardest things I do. When I start talking to someone, I've had people that I start talking to, and they go off talking about something in their life, and it takes me about 10 minutes to just figure out what they're talking about sometimes, because they're in Chinese, and I'm not exactly sure of what they were talking about when we started. If I know the general topic, I can figure it out pretty quickly. But when they just start off and don't tell you what they're talking about, you got to figure it out from the vocabulary. It's kind of hard. Context is king in the Chinese language, and because they really don't have a whole lot of grammar, and they also, a lot of the words sound exactly the same. As an example, okay, for instance, the word for four is say in Chinese. The word for death is also say in Chinese. Exactly the same, spoken. But they don't like to say death. So they don't really like the number four, as a result of that. And if you say it wrongly, you may be saying another word, but sometimes it's, even if you say it correctly, it's a word that they might not like to hear. God so loved the world. Sun loi sai yun. I just said that wrong on purpose. I said Sun Loi Sion. It should be Sun Loi Sion. Do you hear the difference? Just a little tone. You say it here in the middle, and it's the right word, and it means God loves all the world's people. But if you say it wrong, Sun Loi Sion, you just said God loves Westerners. Now, that's the wrong thing to say when you're quoting John 3:16, so you have to be careful. That's the kind of thing that we deal with all the time. And Chinese have these 4 and 6 word sayings in Chinese. There are just a million of those things. You heard one of them, in fact, on the video. That little boy, he said, Sun Tai Jin Hong. That's a 4 word phrase that they say at Chinese New Year, and it means, may you be in good health. Right? They have a million of those. And if you don't learn to say it that way, I mean, I can somehow find a way to get around it and say what I want to say, and they kind of know the meaning. But if you say it the way they're used to, it cuts to their heart. And so you need to pray for us missionaries, poor missionaries in China, that we'll be able to communicate in a way that they can understand. That's the first principle. Second principle is the idea of that you need to just make prayer something in which you really do watch over souls. Souls respond when God's people pray. I just want to share an illustration of that I had seen recently. This is an illustration from Chinese missionary history. About 100 years ago, there was a fairly famous man. He wasn't famous before he got saved, but after he got saved, he became a fairly famous pastor. His name was Watchman Nee. He wrote a pretty famous book in his day based on Ephesians called Sit, Walk, Stand. And it's a good book, by the way. If you can get it, it'll help you. he was a good preacher, and his church was a real fiery church, really spreading the gospel. They were in Shanghai. And one of the reasons they were so successful in sharing the gospel is they did a unique thing. I dare any pastor to try this. As soon as someone could get saved, they would take him out street preaching and make that person give their testimony out loud while they were street preaching. They took literally the idea of confessing Christ, you know, as part of salvation. And so they had this 16-year-old young man. He had just gotten saved, and they took him out street preaching out in outlying villages. And it was a village that had a particular idol that they worshiped very devotedly. And the reason they said they worshiped it so devotedly was because every year at the festival for that idol, they would pray and ask for good weather, and every year they had good weather. So they thought, this idol's real controlling the weather, you know? And so this young man, he got up and gave his testimony, and he had heard about their festival that was coming up in like 2 or 3 days. I think it was on the 8th of August. And he said, you know, I'm going to pray that this year it rains cats and dogs on your festival day so that you will know that your idol is nothing and my God is real. That kind of shocked Watchman Nee when he found out the young man had said this. He wasn't present at the time, but they agreed to pray. And it rained cats and dogs on the 8th. And the elders of the village, they got up and said, oh, wait a minute. We'd calculated wrong. The actual day is the 11th. And so we'll have good weather on the 11th. And the young man got up and he said, I'm going to pray that it rains again on the 11th. And it did. It rained cats and dogs on the 11th. And that whole village turned to the Lord. When God's people pray that God will open opportunities and open hearts, God goes to work. So we need to pray. You need to pray that way for people you share the gospel with. And we need to pray for each other. Notice he says that apparently the apostle, this was during the time the apostle Paul was in jail. This is one of the prison epistles. And he was feeling perhaps a bit constricted in his ability to evangelize. And so he prays that God would open unto him a door of utterance. You know what? Apparently Philippians 1 is the answer to that prayer. In Philippians 1, he tells us that the things that have happened to me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. All the guards in the palace that are watching over me have heard the gospel. They were kind of a confined crowd. They had no way to get away. When he shared the gospel, they had to be there. And so they had heard the gospel, and other people had heard the gospel as a result of him, and many Christians had been emboldened to go out and share the gospel as a result of his stand for the Lord. And he said, God has opened doors and done good things. And then lastly, I want you to just, again, think about that word manifest. Part of the preaching of the gospel is making the gospel clear. One of the ways Paul did that over and over again was sharing his own testimony of salvation. And I believe strongly in doing that. I share my testimony of salvation with lost people in Hong Kong. And anytime you share your own gospel testimony, I feel like it touches people's hearts. And so we need to get in the habit of doing that. But I would like to encourage you to pray that God would enable you to speak clearly the gospel and enable me and your pastor and your other missionaries and the other people in your church to speak clearly the gospel. I'm just going to share a thought with you about that, and then I'm going to finish. There is a book that I'd like to encourage you to think about buying. It's called Evangelism for the Faint-Hearted by a man named Floyd Schneider. He was a missionary in Austria. He fell upon a way of reaching people that was pretty successful in his ministry, and I think it would be successful anywhere. It's very simple. What he did, and I'd like to encourage you to do the same, read the book, but then try this. People that he wanted to share the gospel with, and he would just try to befriend them. And every time that he was with them, he would just try to share some little thing that God had taught him, some little thing God had done, just trying to share the wonder of being a Christian. The idea is to communicate to them that it's a good thing to be saved. It's a glorious thing to know the God of heaven. And you try to show them the glory by showing them that your God is real, that God's really changed you, that God has done wonderful things for you. Just trying to share that. And as you do that, if they start showing any interest, asking questions, you then ask, hey, you seem kind of interested in this. Would you be interested to just read the Bible with me? And you try to just read the Bible with them. If they say no, you just continue being what you were before, friendly, sharing bits and pieces here and there. And if they allow you to, sharing a further explanation of what the Bible teaches about the gospel. But again, after a few weeks, if they seem interested still, you just come back and say, would you read the Bible with me? And you just keep coming back. And if they ever say yes, you read the Gospel of John. And the second half of that book is given over to teaching you how to read the Gospel of John with them. It gives you a whole list of questions to use to help them think through what they're reading. Your purpose is not to answer the questions for them, but to get them thinking and to get them reading. And most people, if you can get them reading the Gospel of John and they continue reading it, will more likely respond to the gospel. He found that if he got people through John 6 or 7, they almost always got saved. I would like to challenge you, buy that book. It will help you. And just try to simplify the process. Don't think of it as such a difficult thing. And ask God to make his word manifest through you and your church, through your missionaries. Ask God to do something good. Be devoted to prayer. Watch over us in your prayer. Watch out for us and protect us in your prayer. And then pray specifically for opportunities and clarity in spreading the gospel. And ask God to work. Because I know that is my greatest need. Before anything else, I would say, I want people praying.